It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And welcome in, everybody, to the Landry Football Podcast for this Wednesday, January 26th. Good to be talking football with you, all of us on all of our platforms here. Hope that you are joining us either on YouTube, Landry Football, Facebook, Landry Football, Twitch TV, Chris Landry Football channel, and hope that you will join us in the chat room today. Bring your questions, bring your thoughts. We'll get to it in the mailbag segment, all brought to you by great friends at MyPillow, folks at Mike Lindell. More on them in just a second. We have a lot to get to today. We're going to recap the NFL playoffs from this past week, look ahead to this week's championship games. We're going to give you an update on where things are with the head coach and GM searches around the NFL. And, of course, a lot of stuff going on at LandryFootball.com, all of that, as well as transfer portal grades on the players, scouting reports on the players, who's still left, who's gone, and in recruiting, obviously, with signing day a week from today. Big week next week. As a lot going on there, as well as the Senior Bowl. So a lot going on. You appreciate it. Today is, as you know, January, if you're listening to this live, if you're listening to a tape, we're doing it live on January 26th. I would be remiss. I most fondly remember this as my father's birthday. He would have been 95 years old today. We lost him 17 years ago. Miss him dearly, but happily, heavenly birthday, Dad. 39 years ago today, on my dad's birthday, I can remember it vividly, is the death of Paul Bear Bryant. I was on Alabama radio today, and one of the things that I reminisced about is how, you know, times have changed so much. How we get information today is so different than it has been and was in the past. You didn't have a cell phone. You didn't have internet. I think I remember finding out by radio, news talk radio with very little sports radio back then, and you'd get a news update, and obviously that made the news. What we call the rip and read news, you know, where you had the AP or the UPI news feed, and that's how you got the news. That's what happened, and then you heard about it on the national news, and that's kind of where it was. It's can you imagine in today's world someone of that iconic in nature? If something would happen, you'd hear about it interestingly, and it instantly, and it would spread like wildfire. We had a lot of folks recently passed away at the end of the year, celebrities and whatnot, but it's the anniversary there. So not to get everyone on a somber note, but it was on my mind, and so I wanted to mention it. I tell you what was fascinating about this past weekend. It's the fascinating thing about sports is that you never know what you're going to get. You anticipate coming off of a wild card weekend where the games weren't not all that good, competitively speaking. There were goodness in the games, but not what you'd call compelling games where the game was in doubt. You saw great play and responded by other great plays. This weekend in the NFL was phenomenal. It was, you know, it started off with Cincinnati and Tennessee, and it was a walk-off win by the road team. Then we go to San Francisco, Green Bay, and what was a clear favorite in both of them, but more so in Lambeau, that Green Bay would take care of business at home. And again, walk-off win by the road team. We get to Sunday and you think, well, man, can it be as good as yesterday? And you hope it can be, but you recognize that it probably won't be. And it began looking like the Rams were having their way with Tampa. Clearly not the same Tampa team as it was last year. And the Rams are going to put them away and it's going to be a blowout. Only to have Tom Brady, once again, bring his team back. And Tampa coming back and making this a game, putting it in doubt, taking over, maybe looking like this is going to be a colossal collapse by the Rams. But they come up with a big play to answer the Bucs, and off we go. And you're thinking, I'm thinking, even tweeted it out on at Landry Football. Oh, man, we've had a great weekend, one of the great weekends of NFL divisional play. I don't know how we can top it. We got Buffalo and Kansas City coming up. And these two teams may be as good as any two teams left. But we're going to have a game that's as compelling. You hope, but you just think, man, we can't be that lucky to have that. The same quality. Well, it was that and then some. Hope you had a chance to watch it. We're going to go through all the games, but it was a game that showed so much in terms of the importance of the quarterback play, in terms of big play, responding by big plays, responding by big plays. And I thought defensively, did a pretty good job until it was towards the end and it was a real problem. I just can't imagine having games go and go and back and forth and create the type of outcome that we had. It was just phenomenal. So we're going to get into that and going to talk a little bit about what is Cincinnati up against Kansas City, and then what to make of the Rams and the Niners, which is a little more complex in my mind as I see it. So, but a reminder, at LandryFootball.com, you can get all the details of all the breakdowns. We've got a lot going on. Let me tell you what's going on there. Yes, we still obviously break. We broke down all these games, these four games from this past weekend inside the film room. I'll tell you what happened, breaking it down for you. And then obviously we're going to break down the two conference championship games for Sunday. But we've got the coaching tracker, the interview status of all these openings in the NFL, and we're close to getting those jobs named and announced. As I check my, as I'm doing this show live, I will check that, my email. And also, my text messages as we do the show. So we've got updates on all of that, all the GM, all the coaching searches in the NFL. We've got tons of information on our college notebook. Derek Mason takes the job at Oklahoma State, for example, as defense coordinator. We've got some big recruiting news. We've got Harold Perkins, a big-time linebacker from Georgia that decommitted from A&M. A&M made a strong house visit last night, LSU with a strong anticipated house visit on tap for tonight. We'll see what they can do and how that plays out. All the recruiting information, the transfer portal, giving you an evaluation of the best players in the transfer portals, where they're headed, their strengths, their weaknesses, the best remaining players that have not yet signed that are going to sign a week from today, got all of that for you. Got a look at the best players in this recruiting class, the 30-35, what we call blue grade, highest level players in the country, and there's only a handful of them that haven't signed. We've got all of that. All of your recruiting information, all of your college football information, transfer portal information, NFL draft information, busy with that and getting you a present for that. So tons of stuff going on. So check it out at LandryFootball.com. Folks, we've looked at it. We've got a scouting season sale for you. A lot of you think of this season as scouting season, draft season, recruiting season. Scouting season sale, 50% off. A great time to get involved at LandryFootball.com today. Lots of big things going. But let's get into kind of what we saw. What's your reactions to the game from this past weekend? Were you surprised with Cincinnati, Tennessee? Going into the game, and I mentioned it last week, I thought that Tennessee certainly had the better overall season. And I thought they had the better-looking team going into the game. But that matters not. It matters much how you play. Ryan Tannehill did not play well. They did not play well as a unit, made too many mistakes, turned the football over. Not all the turnovers were Tannehill's fault, but a large percentage was. You can't make mistakes in games like that. The first step to winning games at the highest level is to first learn how not to lose them. Cincinnati, I can tell you, and I'm maybe giving a little bit of tip on how I'm seeing things there, but you know, Cincinnati did not play all that well, and they didn't play all that well last week. However, they're finding ways to win, and they deserved and have earned to be here. And you go on the road and beat the number one seed on the road, that's saying a lot. Kudos to Joe Burrow. Kudos to Evan McPherson and the great job he did kicking them in to this conference championship round. And the defense stepping up and doing what they needed to do. But it was really more about that and less about Joe Burrow's prowess in that game. Tennessee's mistakes absolutely killed them. And that was the difference. When Burrow was able to get the ball off, when he had time, he had an 85% adjusted completion rate. But he only pushed the ball down an average of just 4.2 yards. Mixon was bottled up throughout the game. He had only 54 rushing yards. They targeted T. Higgins the most. He led the Bengals receivers with 9 targets. He finished with 7 receptions for 96 yards. Jamar Chase had 5 catches for 109 yards. 94 came after the catch. Higgins and Chase were the only 2 pass catchers who generated more than 2 yards per route. Isaiah Prince on the offensive line didn't allow a pressure. The rest of the offensive line was dicey. Jonah Williams struggled. He allowed 5 pressures, 2 sacks. Adenjai struggled with giving up 4 pressures and 3 sacks. Quentin Spain and Trey Hopkins each allowed a sack. 9 sacks. Burrow's got to get the ball out quicker, and they got to protect him better. The defensive line for the Bengals did not record a sack, but B.J. Hill generated some pressures. Trey Hendrickson generated some pressures. D.J. Reader clocked up the middle against the run at 4 run stops. Thought Logan Wilson played well at linebacker. Thought he played well in coverage, and I thought he did a good job defending the run. In the secondary, Chidobe Awuzie was targeted 8 times, gave up 5 catches for 139 yards. All 5 receptions went for either a first down or a touchdown. On the other side, Eli Apple allowed 2 catches. For Tennessee, when Tannehill threw the ball down the field, team moved the ball. But he struggled on the shorter throws, which was really surprising. And there were some tip balls. There was a couple of misreads. Derrick Henry was given the bulk of the carries. Deontay Foreman outpaced him. A.J. Brown was outstanding. He had 5 receptions from 9 targets, 142 yards. They targeted Julio Jones a good bit. Played well. No Titans offensive lineman allowed a sack. Quisenberry and Roger Saffold each gave up 2 pressures. I thought the defensive line, 4 Titan defensive linemen generated more than 3 pressures, while 6 recorded at least a half sack. Zach Cunningham did a nice job, 3 stops there. He was targeted 4 times. I thought Jackrabbit, Janoris Jenkins, allowed 4 catches from 6 targets. Kudos to doing what you need to do, and that's what Cincinnati was able to do in that game. And it was more a lot about what Tennessee was not able to do. For San Francisco and the Rams, Garoppolo did a really good job. He did a serviceable job in some areas. But he threw about 3 picks and maybe 1 or 2 that could have been pick sixes that just were not played well by Green Bay. That would have been the difference. But the running game keeps them in manageable third downs, and that's how they were able to slow down the pass rush. You didn't see Mitchell or Deebo Samuel kind of turn things on in their outside zone scheme, but they were pretty effective nonetheless. I thought Samuel was really good after the catch. I thought Kittle did some good things. I didn't think they protected Green Bay's pass rush all that well up front. They just stayed out of third and long, so the ball was able to come out quick and they were able to run it. But Tomlinson and Compton gave up 4 sacks and 8 pressures. The 49ers offensive line as a whole allowed 11 pressures. And the key, and I'll get into this week's matchup, is this Niner offensive line can't hold up against the Rams pass rush. The Niners match up well with the Rams because they run the football well. And the Rams defense is better at rushing the passer than defending the run. On defense for San Francisco, Bosa suffered that concussion the week before, and he really did a good job. His edge rush was key, 6 pressures, 2 sacks. Warner was outstanding. I thought he did a good job with the run, was physical, played the pass with really good agility, got in the passing lanes very well. So it was whether San Francisco could hold up in coverage. And I got to tell you, Williams and Johnson allowed 96 yards from 8 receptions, but only 2 of those gained 15 or more yards. They dropped into zone coverage, played very effectively, and they kept the game in front of them. Really, really good. Really, really good. For Green Bay, Rodgers was productive to start. Boy, I thought Green Bay, when they started out the game, it showed really good game plan. San Francisco did a better job making adjustments in game. San Francisco's zone coverage, as I've kind of alluded to, really kept Green Bay's passing attack limited in its ability to go downfield. Really good job. I thought Dillon and Jones were going to have monster games. San Francisco blew up coverage that led to a big game, but as a tandem, Jones and Dillon combined for less than 3.5 yards a rush. Davante Adams was the Packers' only non-rushing back to get multiple touches. They rolled their coverage in his direction early in the game, but once its pass rush got on fire, they couldn't use Adams downfield. We can talk about coverage all we want, but the best way to defend a good passing game is by rushing the passer. They did a really good job. Green Bay struggled pass protect all throughout, giving up 13 pressures. Missing Bakhtiari was a factor. It's what happens very often this time of year. Gary's transition from a three technique to college to edge rusher really has developed well, nicely for Green Bay up front. He ran around and through Green Bay for Green Bay through San Francisco's front. Five pressures and a pair of sacks. I thought Devondre Campbell was key against San Francisco's ground game. I thought he did a good job. I thought Adrian Amos recorded with the one interception, did a good job jumping. But I thought they left some plays on the field. As I mentioned, I thought they could have had a huge impact in turning that game around. I think they could. There were a couple of big plays, some mistakes that I thought Garoppolo made that the Packers were unable to take advantage of. So I would say that for both number one seeds, you got to show up, you got to play well. One of the things we talked about all throughout this NFL season was, look, somebody's going to win the one seed, but one seeds don't look dominant. It looked like headed into it, I mean, it looked like Kansas City was the best team in the AFC, and Buffalo may have been the second best. At least that's how I graded them as a team, and I thought Tennessee was third. Now, Tennessee earned the number one seed. I'm not saying that, but just the film tells you they were the third best team at best in the AFC. In the NFC, I was a little more disappointed in how Green Bay played because I didn't see – great quarterback, you think they figure out a way to get it done. They figure out a way to score some points against San Francisco, and they couldn't do it. So I wasn't disappointed. I was surprised that they weren't as effective. So that was my takeaway. And yet, no, those were upsets, but not massive upsets. Green Bay's not a great team. Probably should have won that game at home. But they didn't. Look, they didn't play well enough to do it. So we go on to Sunday, and we got the Rams, and we got the Bucs. And we saw Matthew Stafford silence a lot of people. This is why they traded for him. You know, now it's one more step, and we'll see what he can do. But for last week, they got – that's what they brought him in for. Could make plays. First playoff game win of his career. Cam Akers was unable to get much going on the ground. Fumbled twice, actually helping Tampa maintain life in the game. Cooper Kupp was outstanding, the game winner, but he came up with two huge catches on the final drive that put them in field goal position. He had a fumble early in the game that was part of the Rams' collapse that allowed the game become as close as it did. I thought the pass protection held up well by the Rams in the first half. But then they got exposed as the game went along. Joseph Noteboom did a good job filling in for Whitworth at left tackle. There were two, three reps in pass protection where he really struggled. I thought the pass rush was the most dominant unit, as it normally is for the Rams. It was here. Von Miller was outstanding. Unbelievably high pressure rate. And Joshua had his hands full. Aaron Donald was Aaron Donald. Constant problem. And you got some really good snaps from Leonard Floyd. The Rams don't have a lot into their linebackers in terms of resources. Reeder and Howard took snaps. Both were solid. And they limited the big plays in coverage. They gave up some yards, but not a ton. Jalen Ramsey was tasked with taking Mike Evans out of the game, and for a while it worked. But his biggest losing rep, though, ended up being the touchdown that changed the entire complexity of the game. He gave up seven catches, 108 yards for a touchdown on 13 targets. For Tampa, Brady didn't play well early. The offense didn't play early. They couldn't find anything going early. He was under pressure for the early going and for quite some time, playing with backup right tackle in place of the injured Tristan Wirfs, who's a really good pass blocking right tackle, one of the best, if not the best, in the league. Leonard Fournette scored a couple of critical touchdowns on the ground, gained some tough yards. But Brady woke up and figured some things out in the second half and worked their way back only through the help of some Rams miscues. But they managed to do that. Evans and Gronk were Brady's primary targets. Evans saw 14. Gronk saw 10 targets. But then Scotty Miller, you know, stepped up with a couple of plays, catching four or five passes down the stretch for 38 yards. Josh Wells played at right tackle with Tristan Wirfs unable to play. And you can see he wasn't healthy enough himself. Donovan Smith couldn't deal with the Rams' speed. He's beaten more than Wells, actually. Tampa Bay's defensive line performed well against the run, but he struggled to get too much pressure. Stuffing the run was critical in key situations. And Sue had one of the biggest plays on defense, stripping Cam Akers. And it set up the drive to tie the game. Devin White played really well, even better than Levante David. But he typically struggles in coverage, White does, but he came down with a nice pass breakup. Thought the secondary had a really good day, made good plays throughout the game. Sean Murphy Bunting was the most targeted member. Give the Bucs a lot of credit for working their way back in the game. And the issue for the Rams is just inability to run the football, Bucs getting some key stops, and you fumbling the football. I mean, you've got to learn how to put people away, and that's where, you know, the concern would be if you're the Rams coming out of that game, can you do that again? They were very fortunate, yet very functional in how in showing a lot of resolve the Rams did. Coming back when it looked like they were going to put it away, and then they couldn't, and then Tampa comes back, then you felt like, oh, all the momentum is Tampa's way. They're going to get this. The Rams are just tightening up so much. And then Stafford picks up the slot blitz and maybe a little bit too aggressive of a call for Todd Bowles in that situation. But then hits Cooper Kupp and boom, there you go. It takes a lot of poise and resolve to put bad plays behind you, put a negative situation behind you to get it done. So great job there. Then the nightcap was obviously, as we talked about, the Chiefs and the Bills. Mahomes didn't start fast. Man, is he clutch. So clutch. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was breaking off long runs. He had only seven times. They don't run it well, but boy, when they can get positive yards and Mahomes can play their way, it's tough. Tyreek Hill, he's nobody like him. Simple dig route, 64 yards to the house. Untouched, by the way. The speed, explosiveness, and quickness to get open and paralyze coverages is just as threatening as the run after catch threat. He came close to have a punt return for a touchdown. Hill caught 11 of his 13 targets, 154 yards, and a score. Wasn't a great performance by the Chiefs' offensive line. Orlando Brown and Andrew Wiley allowed four pressures. Right guard Trey Smith allowed six. They had to chip a good deal, but they were able to work around it pretty well. Melvin Ingram was maybe the difference in this game between the Chiefs losing this game and playing in the AFC Championship game. He's really outstanding. He, Chris Jones, with the two best players on defense for the Chiefs. Nick Bolton continues to be a difference maker. Massive third down run stops. Really good range sideline to sideline. They didn't have Tyrann Mathieu. They look like a shell of itself. But Juan Thornhill ended up with over 100 yards allowed of his own. Mike Hughes allowed all three of his targets to be caught for 50 yards and two scores. So a healthy unit there could be big. For Buffalo, they're going to look at this as, A, we did just about everything we needed to do to win it. I mean, what can you do? But the Chiefs take the lead, and you come right down and score in rapid fashion to win the game with 13 seconds left, only to lose this game. And I'm going to tell you, the answer to the question that everyone wants to know, no. You don't kick it deep. You squib kick it. You've got three plays. Kansas City has only three plays they can run. One of them has to be a kick. So you're down to two plays. And if you squib kick it, they're down to one play and a kick or one play and a Hail Mary. And the chances are, look, I mean, they made two big-time plays. You got to play better defense in that situation. Two big-time plays that move the ball down the field. Two. You needed two in a short period of time. Two. And they did it. Don't give them two. As far as how they played, Josh Allen was incredible. Incredible. Running it, throwing it. I just don't know that anybody, I can tell you this, without question, Josh Allen graded out better at quarterback than any quarterback this postseason. I mean, even if Mahomes has a great game and a great Super Bowl, that's probably the only thing that could say, well, you know, he had two more games. You can't play. You really go back, and when I look at the tape and look at the film grade, it's not, you really can't play. You can't ask for better play from anybody other than what Josh Allen gave you. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Playing in front, playing from behind, running it, throwing it, unbelievable. The running game is primarily fueled by Josh Allen. They've got to get a better running game from the running back position. I thought Isaiah McKenzie did some things, only three carries with 15 yards. Singletary, 10 for 26. They need to upgrade that part of it. Gabriel Davis was outstanding Sunday night. The move he put on Mike Hughes on the fourth down and go, had score with under 2 minutes. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. 8 catches, 201 yards, 4 scores. One of the best single-game performances you will ever see in the history of NFL playoffs. Josh Allen, Gabriel Davis, both of them. Unbelievable. I mean, Hall of Fame worthy, those performances. Just those two games. Offensive line, Deion Dawkins effectively shut down Frank Clark. Allowed only one pressure. He did allow a sack. Dawkins has really played dominant football down the stretch of this season. What a day for Ed Oliver on defense. He was a force to be reckoned with. Finished with 7 pressures on only 33 pass rush snaps. One of the best performances of his young career. He was unbelievable. Tremaine Edmonds was picked on in coverage, torn up in coverage, gave up, I think, 10 catches for 99 to 100 yards, 5 of them going for first downs. The loss of Tre'Davious White was felt big time. So the Bills secondary didn't force an incompletion all night. That's a good secondary. They couldn't get it done against an elite, very, very difficult to defend passing game of the Chiefs. When they get going again, very, very difficult to defend. So this week, what to make of it? Look, I'm going to tell you, all due respect to Cincinnati, as I said, they deserve to be here. They outplayed both opponents in the first two weekends of the playoffs. But I got to tell you, the Bengals have not looked all that good on tape. I think what they've done, they've maximized better than their opponents. They have not played very good. They've been underwhelming on tape. They've covered 6 straight games. They were outgained in both playoff games. Burrow was sacked, as you know, 9 times last week. They're going to have to score a ton of points. Look, I know they did it at home to win the AFC North against Kansas City. That's the last time the Chiefs have lost, by the way. I don't see that happening again. I really don't. I hope this game is close. I hope we have the drama that we had last week. I would be very satisfied with a competitive game because the film speaks to me in a way that says Kansas City and Kansas City big. Not doubting Cincinnati. I'm just telling you that Kansas City's that good, and Cincinnati, while getting it done, is not that good. I think Kansas City wins. I think they cover. NFC Championship, my notes as I looked at it and breaking it down is, and I'm going to have complete, much better details over at LandryFootball.com. This game's intriguing to me because it's a style matchup. I think the Rams are the better team. I don't know if they're better than the Niners in this matchup. And here's what I mean by that. Now, you know San Francisco's on the Rams. They've won six straight, including that 27-24 overtime game. Look, if the Niners don't come back from a 17-0 halftime deficit, they don't even make the playoffs. Let that sink in. Let that sink in if they end up going into the Super Bowl. They don't come back in week 18, they don't make it. Let's call it what it is. San Francisco just was cleaner on special teams than Green Bay. I saved this, and I didn't really get into it in the breakdown of Green Bay, San Francisco, because I do think that they struggled on offense. Green Bay lost the game mostly on special teams. Complete disastrous special teams performance, and San Francisco took advantage of it. That was the difference. A punt block return for a touchdown in the fourth quarter. The Rams nearly blew a 27-3 lead versus Tampa, and they four turnovers nearly cost them. So you wonder, is this going to be a game in which if the Rams make mistakes, the Niners are going to beat them? Because, look, this Rams defense, as I mentioned in the breakdown of the game last week, this Rams defense is a good pass rush unit. They don't defend the run as well, and San Francisco runs the football. That's what they do well. They've been the underdog to L.A. in each of the last four meetings and have won all four of them outright. I mean, it screams 49ers. They're getting 3.5 points here. They're playing about as well as anybody. They're tough to beat. But it comes down to this. If San Francisco can force the Rams into that ball control game, then I like the Niners' chances a lot better. If the Rams are able to make some big plays and get a lead on San Francisco, like they did against Tampa, I think they're in a better position to close them out. Look, I think this is one of those games, to me, the style and the matchups, as I said, favor San Francisco. It screams San Francisco. I mean, the matchups themselves, it's a stylistic matchup that favors the Niners. That's why they've won it. It's not just fluky. That's what it is. You wonder if the Rams can put together that performance. You know what I mean. That performance that they rise up, they play clean, they realize they played with dynamite last week. They played dynamite early and played with dynamite. Almost collapsing, almost imploding. Do they play it better? To me, this game is most intriguing because I can see this game going either way. Should be a lot of fun. Hey, folks, let me tell you about my good friends at MyPillow. You have helped Mike Lindell, MyPillow, into the incredible company that it is today. And I know I've trusted Mike Lindell to give me a great night's sleep. Now Mike is changing the game with a 6-piece towel set. The set is made of USA cotton, making it extremely absorbent. yet still providing that soft feel you look for in a towel. The set comes with two bath, two hand, two washcloths, typically retailing for $109.99. For a limited time, you can get this set for the low price of $39.99 with the promo code Landry. That's all caps, L-A-N-D-R-Y. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee. So check them out. Give them a call at 1-800-659-2338. I'm telling you, it's a great gift. It's a practical gift, but it's a great one. I got to tell you, I never thought I would just get, you know, it's a damn towel. Who cares? Oh, man, it makes all the difference in the shower, out of the shower, and washing the hands, and we're all washing our hands more and more now. Give them a call, 1-800-659-2338, or go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code Landry. That's all caps, L-A-N-D-R-Y. Want to get into a couple of things here. Want to answer some of your questions, and I'm going to do that here in the mailbag segment. But I want to keep you up to date on what's going on. I mentioned at the top, we've got some interesting recruiting battles down the stretch here that you want to keep an eye out on. We're going to have it at LandryFootball.com for you on what's going on there with Harold Perkins, the outstanding linebacker from Georgia, Jacoby Matthews, Louisiana kid, where they're going to go there. Some transfer portal information. We've got it all for you there. Also, as we going to get a little bit into some the NFL coaching search stuff, Mike McDonald, who left the Ravens to go and really do a great job for Jim Harbaugh in Michigan as the defensive coordinator. Looks like Mike is headed back to Baltimore to be the defensive coordinator to replace Wink Martindale. So check that out. We've got all of that information for you at LandryFootball.com. The latest in the NFL, the coaching searches. The Vikings picked Kwesi Adofo-Mensah as the new GM and analytics guy. Not sure about that, quite frankly. Not all that excited, but we shall see where that may play out. I think Byron Leftwich is going to get the Jacksonville job. The Raiders are being really thorough with GM searches, a number of folks. Leslie Frazier is getting a second interview with the Giants on Friday. Dan Quinn is making his rounds. He's got he had the Bears today, and he's visiting with a number of folks. Ryan Poles is their new GM who comes over from Kansas City. If I had to guess, I'm going to guess that the Giants will hire Brian Daboll. Makes some sense teaming him up with Joe Shane, but also keep him, who comes from Buffalo, but so does Leslie Frazier. So we'll see where that plays out. Check out the new defense coordinator at Oklahoma State, Derek Mason, LSU with a couple of impressive staff hires. And you can see every coach interviewed for every opening, all nine of them in the NFL. You probably are wondering or thinking my thoughts on Sean Payton and the Saints. I've talked about it a few times today. This was not a surprise to me. Last year, it looked like it probably was going to happen. It did not. And it turned out that this was something that he approached Gail Benson, Dennis Hauschka, Mickey Loomis at the end of the season and said, this is what I'm thinking. And they asked him to give it more thought, and he did. And after a couple of weeks, two and a half weeks, told him that's still what he was thinking. I don't think he's through coaching, but he is for now and is with the Saints. And as I mentioned, they're losing more than a head coach. Sean Payton was the guy that made the decisions on who they drafted, who they signed in free agency, who they kept, who they prioritized in paying. He was the offensive coordinator. He was the quarterback coach. He didn't have all those titles. He only had the title of the head coach, but he handled all of that. So they're losing all of those things in one. So it's a huge loss for the Saints. Known Sean for a long time. I would say this, that among the offensive coaches I've known in 35-plus years, he is maybe the best I've ever been around. He is that good. And I've mentioned in my career that I thought, you know, how great Bill Belichick and Nick Saban were before they ever won anything. And I feel the same way about Sean Payton. I think he's simply outstanding. All right, let's go into the mailbag segment. And again, we're going to have the latest there on the transfer portal information, recruiting, the coaching searches, conference championship games, getting working on free agency, the draft, Senior Bowl next week. We've got all of that we got for you at LandryFootball.com. So Rich Coates says, hi, Chris. The play on 4th and 14th of Rams territory where the pass was incomplete to Mike Evans and Evans got hit, I believe in the head, under the chin by Eric Weddle. Sean Hockley ruled the play was after it was unnecessary roughness, but the Rams kept the ball. How is it not a first down? The Bucks, but the Rams keep the ball because it was a dead ball foul. See, once the ball was incomplete, it's a dead ball foul. Once the ball, ironically, when Mike knocked it down, the ball's ruled incomplete, the whistle blows, and then the hit came in. So it wasn't technically interference, and it was after the play. So you can't get an automatic first down when it occurred after the play. It was a dead ball foul. Now, you could argue whether it should have been a dead ball or not, but that's was the ruling. Also, how exactly was unsportsmanlike conduct on Brady when he was hit under the chin that caused Brady a bloody lip? Well, again, the unsportsmanlike conduct was Brady hollering at the official, telling him that. And listen, they felt it was unsportsmanlike conduct. He was chewing out an official. So he got hit. They missed that. And he chewed him out. And apparently in their eyes, he said something a little too unsportsmanlike-y and got penalized. Tough calls for the Bucks. I know. Cade Kavanagh. Hey, Cade, how are you? Feels like Cincinnati is still a year or two away. Look, I think Cincinnati's really good. The Bengals are good. The future's good. Now, the key is, and by the way, I was telling somebody, if you don't think stuff happens that it's hard to explain. I was on a show today, and it was asked about Joe Burrow. Think about this for a second. As awful as it was for Joe Burrow to get injured, remember he got injured first year at Cincinnati? If he doesn't get injured and Burrow plays that entire year, there is no way Cincinnati's in a position to draft Ja'Marr Chase. He's gone before they can pick because they're going to be picking him later. I mean, you hope for him and them that they don't get injured, but it just goes to show you, huh? And he'd still be good without Ja'Marr Chase, but that's a big difference. I mean, I think it's that combination that's allowed them to be at an elite level. Now, improve the offensive line more, continue to run the football, continue to replenish on defense. It's a good team. Pittsburgh's rebuilding with a new quarterback. Cleveland's got a look, they're going with Baker Mayfield. Can they get better quarterback? Like Baltimore's good. The challenges are there, but Cincinnati stood up, and I think they're good. I think the Chargers underachieved. I don't think the Raiders were as good as the Chargers, but they got in. I think the Bengals have managed things pretty well. And look, as I said, who's the great team? Who do you want to anoint as the great team in the AFC? Kansas City and Buffalo are better. And I would say, and I'm going to give myself a chance to revise this based on the offseason, but how would you not next year look at anybody other than Kansas City and Buffalo as the clear favorites just on their quarterback position alone? And if they don't screw up the rest of the roster, I mean, that's clearly the two best teams. Then you throw Cincinnati in the mix with anyone else. So, yeah, I mean, maybe they're a year or two away, but if Kansas City and Buffalo are anywhere close to what they are now, it's going to be a tough nut to crack. Where do you see Jack Cohn out of Notre Dame and Josh Jobe out of Alabama at the next level? I think Jack is at best a backup quarterback, late pick. Josh Jobe, I think, will be a mid-round selection. Oh, I'm going to mess this up. Chippo the Hippo. There we go. It took me a little while to figure that out. Chippo the Hippo 15. You got to love that name. Hello to you, sir. Caleb Williams to Wisconsin. Caleb, let me just say this. In the NIL world that we're living in, if you're a program like a Wisconsin, you know there's got NIL attachments to it. If you're a program like Wisconsin or something like that, you may be able to put a package together that is worth more in NIL money for one individual player. You put it into one or two players or a smaller number of players. Whereas other programs may have far more NIL money, but they have to manage that money a little bit. Not the school, but the NIL involvement has to be managed. You pay one guy one more dollar than the other guy wants to come around. If you're a school like that and you can offer a Caleb Williams or somebody of that ilk, he's clearly the superstar. You clearly pay the money. Look at work with Russell Wilson. This guy could certainly give them a dynamic that's a little bit different. So we'll see what happens, where it happens, where that all goes. We'll keep you up to date at Landry Football on Twitter and certainly at LandryFootball.com with all the latest. Appreciate you, Chippo the Hippo 15. Rich Coates, always great to be there. Cade joining us. Appreciate everybody. Invite you to join us live in the chat room, Facebook, YouTube. We're here for you. Twitch, TV. Appreciate you joining us. Check us out at LandryFootball.com. Spread the word, will you? The 50% off scouting season sale. Recruiting, the draft, transfer portal, college football, looking ahead to next year, coaching searches, NFL, free agency, draft, as I mentioned, got it all for you, all year round. I tell you, there's more news going on this time of year than there is during the football season. So check it out. You absolutely want to get involved today. So spread the word for me. Tell everybody to come back and watch the show. We'll join it here each and every Wednesday. And join us over at LandryFootball.com. Got an exciting scouting season that awaits us. So talk to you next week. Have a great one. And so long, everybody. See you at Landry Football.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.